It's early. I love that tournament. It is nasty weather. You never know. Some days they get nice weather for a little while, and then next thing you know, it's raining and winds blowing about 30 miles an hour, and welcome to the British Open. Anyway, we say good morning to everybody, 7 o'clock hour here. Hey, Woody, so I've been holding off on this a little bit, but it's about that time. I know you and I always disagree on this this little topic here as everybody's getting ready to go to camp, and you know, everybody's, how many guys are going to make an impact early on, and that's where we got to have our improvement, and all the pieces you've added, and we've seen some late trades here and everything else. When it's all said and done, I've taken a look, and I believe there's three teams in the AFC. Now, there are a lot of teams talking about the playoffs. A lot of teams. I agree with everybody that says more than half the league is talking about we got a chance to be in the playoffs. I believe, though, when you talk about going to a Super Bowl, I believe there's eight teams. Eight. That's it. For different reasons. Now, Woody, I'm going to throw them out at you and tell me if you agree or if you want to add somebody or take somebody off the list. Let's start in the AFC. Three teams. Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo. In that order, by the way. You with me? Are you going to add anybody else, or do you want to get rid of anybody?
I just want to hear your list first. Keep going.
All right. I'm going to the NFC. That's all in the AFC.
Oh, that's
NFC.
All. Oh, okay.
That's
okay.
It. NFC. Philly, of course. Washington. Detroit. L.A. Rams. And I put another team in there, and I'm not completely sold, but I'm doing it to Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I say you have to add Green Bay in there.
So those are the five I have. And I'm not sold. Green Bay's the one team that I'm
You're not in on Minnesota.
No. The quarterback thing
scares me. Tampa Bay doesn't do anything for you.
Nah, not sold. That they seem to win that division with 9 wins.
No, I wasn't taking notes while you did this. Did you say the 49ers? I hope you said that.
No, right? I did not.
You did not. Okay.
I'm not.
They're always.
The
they're the thing every. You know, I know.
I know. I see people got them in there, and I do that.
I know last year they were, you know, roughed up or whatever. But
well, they lost a lot of guys.
Yeah. But they
and
they
they're
would,
counting
they
on some guys. They're counting on a guy at running back that. You talk about guys that are injury prone right now at this point with all the hits he's taken at that position. I just can never trust McCaffrey. And I know he had a couple thousand yards a year ago or a couple years ago. I just he's sneaking up on 3-0 and he scares me.
And then on the AFC, so you went Bills, Ravens, Chiefs?
Chiefs.
Is that it?
Ravens,
you put Cincinnati in there?
No.
Okay, well, Cincinnati needs to go in there.
You got
right?
Cincinnati in there?
Yeah, of course.
We mean, of course.
You can't keep doing this. You can't keep saying the guy's the fourth best quarterback in the league and not put him as a team that has a shot to win it.
Scored a lot of points. He's putting up 45 a night.
I think Houston would probably. Houston probably thinks they got a shot. Right? They made some noise.
Now this is not playoffs, Woody. This is.
I understand what you're saying,
but
they probably think they have a shot, right? They've been in the playoffs, so they probably feel like they have a shot. I'm guessing the Chargers feel like they have a shot. I'm guessing the Broncos feel like they have a shot.
All playoff teams.
Yeah. If you're a playoff team, Joe, you probably at least feel like you have a shot.
Not if you're going as a wild card.
I know, but these are like actual playoff teams. These aren't teams that are like going to sneak into the playoffs. I would think they have a pretty good chance
to make it.
All right,
so your point is you're going to add a few more teams. You're not just buying the...
By the way, I think the Cowboys get in there too.
Oh.
And I'm guessing in their market, I'm guessing every year they think they got a shot, man.
You think the Cowboys?
They're thinking this is the year they get over the hump. Yes.
You know, if they weren't the Dallas Cowboys,
I know.
They'd
but
be
they
getting
are.
Beaten up for. And now, wait. So you're on the Prescott's going to lead them?
Well, he's due.
Besides the injuries he's had, he's had a couple no shows through his career too. He's had. Really bad games at really bad times in big games.
Yes.
Speaking of guys in that.
Well, he would be a comp to Tua, wouldn't he? Like we were talking about, you know, Omar was here when you were gone, and we were kind of saying, like, who would be the comp to Tua? And Dak Prescott kind of fits that mold, doesn't he?
I just think, I don't know, but you just do like – so I went eight teams, three in the AFC, when they have their meetings and that first meeting that's coming up when the whole team gets together, rookies have been there a week, here come the veterans, and they have that first meeting with the coach. And he sets the tone. I remember those like yesterday. Old Don Shula standing up there going, guys, all right, got our full team together, start our workouts today, two-a-days, and he was always into goals. My man loved to talk about, hey, we're going to win the AFC East, and our goal is home field advantage throughout the playoffs and a trip to the Super Bowl. You know, and a guy standing up there and you know, you just see when he's talking, that 17-0 thing, you know, is like almost on his chest. You can almost see it. So, and you're going, okay, that was it. So those are the teams that I think stand up there and going, okay, this is a Super Bowl team. And you watered it down. I went with 8, and you watered it to about.
Well, you could also go by the odds too, right? Like you can go by the odds on
I'm
these
not going
things.
By
like,
odds. There's I'm going five by teams. What my eyes told me last year.
There's five teams that are plus 1,000 or better, right? The Lions are plus 1,000. You have Chiefs, Ravens, Eagles, Bills are all under plus 1,000. Then you get into the longer shots, like the Commanders are plus 1,800, 49ers, Bengals, Packers, Rams, all plus 2,000.
Okay.
Then you get into the next tier, though, and you got, you know, Chargers, Bucks, Broncos, Vikings, Texans. They got
they
the
are.
Steelers in there probably just because of the Aaron Rodgers thing, but.
But that is the next tier.
Dolphins, by the way, are plus 8,000.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not the worst. Not even close to the worst.
Yeah, I didn't even do. You went right to the Vegas thing. And I get
well,
it.
Gives you a good idea of what they,
no, it does.
You know, as far
it
as
does.
Like teams they think will contend, right? I mean, they're not going to, if they think a team's going to contend, they're not going to make them, you know, like you got the Browns
I did
plus
it the
30,000.
I did it the old school way off of what they did last year, what they have coming back, what they've added to the team. And I kind of went that way. Listen, Philly lost some pretty crucial guys on defense, but I think they're going to be just fine. I believe they've got just about everybody back on offense for another run at this thing. Detroit, I don't know how much it's going to matter. They lost both coordinators. I don't know exactly what that means. They're getting their best defensive player back from a serious injury as a pass rusher. But anyway, you can add more teams to it. Yeah, I was just curious. But I almost had just 7. I almost did not put Green Bay in there. You said Green Bay's one of the favorites, too, in the
Yeah,
NFC.
Green Bay definitely gets in there. The Steelers are interesting, too, right? Because I know you think they're going to be bad or something, but
I'm not buying it.
I don't know, man. I just don't think you deal with this Aaron Rodgers nonsense if you don't think you have a good team.
They are under pressure, and their drought's obviously nothing in common to our drought for winning a playoff game, but that's all they've been talking about. Pittsburgh hasn't won a playoff game in, I don't know what, how many years it's been. Not 25, but it's what, and that's, they want to win. Rodgers not your future quarterback. He's a right now quarterback. I mean, he heard him again on the, at the golf tournament, was watching it yesterday again and said, hey man, this is it. And I'm with a Hall of Fame coach, and I like this team, and I want to go out the right way. So he was insinuating again yesterday, I want to give it everything I have and get out of here. So anyway, Woody, it's I know you want to get to the playoffs. I just had the elite group of teams that I thought had a chance. I think Rams going to be really good. I don't think Washington's going to take a step back. I think they're going to get their receiver signed. Right now he's making it sound like gloom and doom and not going to play, and they need him, obviously. And then the AFC to me is just three teams. I think Kansas City is as good or better than last year. I don't think they're going to win all those close games. I think their record's not going to be as good. You agree with that? They can't possibly win all those close games like they did last year. Guy's fumbling. Guy gets a 33-yard field goal blocked.
Yeah, they always do, man.
I know. And great teams do, but I just think they're going to have a good record, but they won't be
well,
as good.
I think they're going to be very motivated this year.
Baltimore looks loaded.
Baltimore's loaded every year, and they fall short.
You're right. And Buffalo's coming back.
Same deal.
Same deal. Yeah.
At some point, though, like Lamar and Josh are going to start, right? That thing's going to start to set in where it's like you guys can't get over the hump, and you're maybe not going to.
What do you think? You're going to blow it up when in 12,
no, 13 no. Games I know. I know they're not going to blow it up, but like that will be the knock on those guys until they finally, you know, get one.
Well, yeah. They've got to get past.
You know how
important
those rings are nowadays, man.
Oh, no. Yeah, LeBron. LeBron got everybody excited about that conversation that he had about people putting too much into rings. And of course, it's kind of weird coming from LeBron, who seems to chase teams that have a chance to get rings. So that was kind of a strange
shot
one.
Good job.
No, but you know, not everybody's going to win rings. I happen to agree with him on that. There's a lot of really guys that have been great players throughout their careers that.
Well, I think it's different in basketball. Like, I mean, obviously have more of an impact individually, right?
Yeah, but now more than ever, no superstar wants to be left alone. The only guy I can even think of is the Greek Freak is the only guy that, hell, there's some people think he still wants to stay in Milwaukee, and you're like, you realize this team you have right now has no chance to win a championship. And, you know, and he stayed loyal for a long, long time. All right, listen, we got more stuff to get to here. We're going to check in on the New England Patriots, who the Miami Dolphins will open up the home schedule with this year, week two. The New England Patriots, Ben Volen's going to join us, senior NFL writer for the Boston Globe, covering the NFL and the Patriots. We'll get caught up with everything, including a lot of people think might be the most improved team in the National Football League. Only 4 wins last year. It was a bad team, man. It was bad. And they had a lot of money in free agency and a big draft class and a brand-new head coach. We'll talk to Big Ben about all that stuff straight ahead, but first, part of sports that nobody likes to talk about, but it's a fact. And if you're competitive in team sports or individual sports, you know this already, no matter what age you are. If you're competitive and you play hard, sooner or later we all get injured. It sucks, but it's reality. And we're lucky to have Baptist Health South Florida Sports Medicine Programs, one of the best in the country, one of the top 50 sports medicine programs in the country. Where do the pros go? And I go, well, here we go. Enter Miami, the Heat, the Panthers, the Miami Dolphins, FIU, FAU, a lot of athletes, high school, college, and professional athletes, not just here in South Florida, but from all over the country. Come to see the great specialists and doctors they put together at Baptist Health South Florida. Baptist Health South Florida does a lot of great things. We've got a lot of facilities for you to go to. I just talk about the sports medicine because when it comes to injuries, it's a big part of what we have here in South Florida. It is nice to have some of the top specialists. No, they don't have to leave town. You can get it done and get fixed and get back out playing the sports you love the most. We got top specialists for the knee, shoulder, foot and ankle, hand, back, hip and knee replacement, Achilles doctors. I'm talking about doctors for every part of the body. They've seen it. They know how to fix it. And with 3 great facilities like Doctors Hospital and Coral Gables, Hard Rock Stadium right next to the training facility is a gorgeous place in 595 and Pine Island in Plantation. We call it Dr. Swartzen territory up there. Just visit baptisthealth.net/ortho. One go every day. It's about getting you healthy, back out playing the sports you love the most.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com.
All right, Woody, thank you so much. Ben Volen, senior writer for the NFL and the Patriots, working with the Boston Globe, and joins us. Lived and spent some time down here in South Florida as well. Benny, how you doing, man? How's the summer been so far?
Summer's been awesome, big dog. Always great to hear your voice, my man. I was telling Danny before coming on, I'm just trying to enjoy the last few minutes before football season starts. You know, everyone's like 50 days till kickoff, 6 weeks till kickoff. Let's enjoy summer first. Let's not speed up till the start of the football season.
You know what? I like that. I'm kind of Can't wait to get this thing going. I'm always curious to, you know, what it's going to look like and who's going to play well and who's not and the whole thing. So Benny, we got to just jump into this. Let's get into the drama, first of all, before we even talk about the team. How about this Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick stuff? This is great. Who took a chance on who here? And Belichick, of course, never lets anything go these days. So what was your take on what Robert Kraft, which actually ended up being a compliment, but I don't know if Belichick heard the whole thing, and then Bill said, I took a chance on you. Your organization was a disaster. What'd you think?
So, I mean, I love the back and forth between these two, just fighting like little children for the last couple of years since Kraft fired Belichick. This one is shocking to me, Big Dog. I mean, Bill Belichick comes off as so sensitive here. This is a guy who for 25 years never responded to things in the media, always stayed above the fray, never let things affect him. And now it's like anytime any sort of word is written about him, he's so sensitive, I think because of the stuff with his girlfriend, he's just like firing back. And this was a really bad look for him because what Robert Kraft said, you know, maybe, look, I understand the relationship between the two is not very good right now. And Belichick, anything that comes out of Robert's mouth, Belichick's going to take a negative inference to it. But what Kraft said, he's told that story a million times over the years. I've heard that quote that he took a risk on Belichick in 2000. He said that over and over. That's one of
right.
That's his line. That's, you know, Kraft has these lines that he always gives, and that's one of them. And I just think Belichick looked really, really sensitive. Had no need to send this lengthy statement to ESPN, where you could tell his fingerprints were all over it. You know, they're $10 million over the cap his first year, and the deft right. salary cap management of Bill Belichick, and they were 31st. In spending since 1994, which I think that one needs a fact check because the Houston Texans didn't exist until 2002 and the Ravens didn't exist, the Browns didn't exist. So how could they be 31st when all these teams didn't exist? So anyway, it just shows how bad the relationship is between Belichick and Kraft and how sensitive Belichick is to everything right now, because there was no need for him to comment about any of this.
So Ben, just to follow up, because love can make you do crazy things. Do we think the young little girlfriend might be behind a lot of this and kind of egging him on to not let this go? You're Bill Belichick.
I mean, I think you have to consider that, considering she seems to be calling the shots in every other aspect of his life. She's, you know, ordering up photo shoots and posting about being mermaids and fishermen on Instagram and she's standing on the practice field in UNC in high heels. I mean, she runs the show. She's got Bill Belichick wrapped around her little pinky yeah. finger right now. So yeah, anything that he's doing, you got to think that she's kind of pulling the strings behind the scenes.
Yeah, Bill found love, man. There's no question about it. He either love or just a mad crush there, or found out parts of the body do work again, and he just can't stop. Anyway. Hey, so 4-13 last year, big free agent class, a lot of money, big draft class, got a Will Campbell at the tackle position. The team does look obviously a lot better. What would be your goal before we get into positions for 4-13? Everybody thinks it's going to be the most improved team. What would be a good number for this Patriots team to get to?
Yeah, I think realistically, an 8-win season, 9-win season is very much in the realm of possibility. They're going to be a much more respectable team. I think it's going to be similar to the 2021 season. That was Mac Jones's rookie year. That was the first time that the Patriots, they had no talent on the roster, so they went nuts in free agency, bringing in guys like Matthew Judon and Hunter Henry. And they were a much more respectable team. They went 10-7, made the playoffs, but they still, you know, lacked a lot of punch. They got blown out in the playoffs that year. I think a similar situation now. They'll be a lot more respectable than the last 2 years, two straight 4-13 seasons, which is unheard of around here. You know, assuming Stephon Diggs stays healthy, you know, that should be a nice addition to the offense. Travion Henderson, the running back from Ohio State, second round pick, should be a good weapon out of the backfield. The defense should be much improved with Vrabel bringing his guys in now. And the schedule is very favorable. Last year, you looked at the Patriots' schedule, and it was loaded with quarterbacks. You know, they're playing Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen twice, which obviously they have again this year. But there are a lot of games where you're like, I'm not sure they're going to have a chance in that one. this year it's a lot of like Bryce Youngs and Geno Smith, and it's like a lot of toss-up kind of 50-50 games that could go either way. So I see the Patriots as an 8 or 9-win team, competitive till the end of the season, you know, going for one of those last wild card spots. But still, they're, you know, I still think the offense leaves a lot to be desired with Drake May in his second year. They still need to get him more help moving forward.
Are you, I like the Drake May I saw in year one because I thought he had the least amount of talent of when they played at Hard Rock Stadium. I was like, whoa. That's hard to win with that group. Drake May's doing a pretty good job. I don't know if he can do any more than he's doing in this game. I thought he's pretty good in year one.
I would agree. And it's a lot of it comes back to he had nothing to work with. I mean, the worst offensive line, you know, you remember the famous quote from Jeff Ireland, you know, we have a bunch of threes and fours and fives at wide receiver. That was the Patriots the last few years. Just no one who could win a one-on-one matchup or, you know, cause any sort of problem for the defense. So hopefully that's where Stephon Diggs comes in this year. Again, he's coming off an ACL, so you're not quite sure what you're going to get from him. But he looks great so far. Just, you know, he looks like he's ahead in his rehab and that kind of thing. So Diggs is such an important piece to the offense now. Travion Henderson, as I mentioned, he was a dynamic home run hitter. That's what the Patriots need, guys who can score from 70 yards out. It's been a long time since they've had someone like that. And let's not underestimate, I think maybe the biggest move, everyone talks about bringing Mike Vrabel. I think Josh McDaniels was a big hire. I know he didn't work out as head coach of the Raiders, but I think he's been a great offensive coordinator for the Patriots over the years. He got 10 wins and a playoff appearance out of a rookie, Mac Jones. He had a pretty solid season with Cam Newton when Cam had no shoulder left and couldn't throw the football. Josh McDaniels went 11-5 with Matt Castle in that one season. So I think McDaniels is going to be a great teacher for Drake May. And I really like that hire for the Patriots, bringing McDaniels back.
So, Benny, you know, just looking at the depth chart last night, I love that defensive secondary, the Patriots. I across the board, the safeties have always played well against the Dolphins. Can you hear me? Can you hear me okay, Ben? Ben, you there? I lose you, Benny. I think.
Now you got me.
Hey, Ben. I love that secondary. That defensive secondary. Safeties have always played well against the Dolphins, and now they got some really good corners on the outside. What do you thought? Strength of the team in that defensive secondary?
Yeah, definitely a strength. And sorry about. I hope you heard my whole answer there. I hope we didn't get totally cut off about Josh McDaniels, but. Yeah, the Patriots secondary now, the big signing was Carlton Davis, the cornerback. He was with Detroit last year. He spent 5 years with Tampa Bay. A 6-foot, you know, lanky press corner on the outside to go along with Christian Gonzalez, who's also a lanky 6-foot
really
press corner. So two really solid physical press corners who should free up the rest of the defense to do a lot of creative stuff. You still have Jabril Peppers, one of the better safeties still in the NFL. Kyle Duggar is still back there. The Patriots secondary is going to be solid, but, you know, up front they might be pretty good too. They brought in Harold Landry from the Titans. Robert Spillane, their new middle linebacker, he's just a demon, you know, a tackling machine all over the field. The pass rush, it's going to look a lot different than under Belichick, where they believe more in just letting the quarterback kind of run his way into pressure. Now they're just going to have four guys up front pinning their ears back.
Right.
Oh, I forgot to mention Milton Williams, the guy from Philadelphia.
Yeah, I love Milton in the middle. My God, was he great in the Super Bowl.
He wrecked the Super Bowl, absolutely. So now they've got a lot more speed up front, and I think the pass rush, with a good secondary behind them, the pass rush should be a lot better this year.
So we talk about the Jets. What are your thoughts overall? Jets just recently signed a couple of former first-round picks, which they should have because they're both really good players. What do you think about how good the Jets could be?
I don't think they're going to be great this year, but I like the fact that you barely heard from them all offseason. This is a team that is just, you know, writes the book on dysfunction every single year. And for, like, Aaron Glenn has come in and just shut that all down. He's been purposely very boring with the media, so his clips never get shown on ESPN. And, you know, they haven't had any sort of, like, holdout. No players go on the Pat McAfee show and talk about, you know, the vaccine or whatever. And now, you know, a week before training camp, they have their two-star players locked up on long-term contracts, Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson. So they go into training camp. Everyone's happy. It's positive. They're just going to work. You know, I don't think they're going to be a great team with Justin Fields. I'm not a huge believer in him. The fact that two teams have kind of already given up on Justin Fields. But I like at least the fact that Aaron Glenn seems to have this team headed in the right direction and that they're focusing again on football and not on all the drama and nonsense that usually comes with Jets football.
Hey, by the way, before we get to the Dolphins, I do want to ask you about Will Campbell at left tackle. I know it's only been an off season. What are your thoughts on how quickly he can have an impact?
Well, look, I mean, everything about his resume screams that he's going to be a day one, you know, immediate impact kind of guy. He was a 3-year starter at LSU, earned the starting left tackle job in August of his true freshman season, and then never came off the field for 3 years. Protected his quarterback against all the top pass rushers in the SEC. So Will Campbell in college was a stud, definitely, you know, probably the best lineman here in the draft. But the arm length thing is definitely real. Just because you can protect guys in college does not mean that you can do it in the NFL when you're going against the top 1%. And we just don't know how it's going to go. I mean, is it a death sentence to have short arms? No. But you really have to make up for it with good footwork and good body positioning and great athleticism and that kind of thing. So we'll see. But, I mean, there are a lot of people that look at him and go, oh, well, he's a guard. I mean, that's very much a possibility that eventually he gets moved inside. And I think if that happens, he'll still be a good 10-year NFL player. But there's no way to know until he gets out there whether he can handle it. But the arm length thing is definitely a real concern, and that's going to be something that he's going to be tested on.
All right, so you've had a chance like everybody else nationally as well as in the South Florida market to sit back and watch what's gone on with the Dolphins, and it's mostly, as you know, has been negative. What's your take on how good the Dolphins can be this year from what they've done and haven't done?
I mean, they can be good. Mike McDaniel still has a great offensive mind. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Tua. I mean, if they get some good injury luck, the Dolphins could definitely run it back at, you know, and win 10 games, maybe 11 games. You know, maybe Jalen Ramsey is kind of addition by subtraction. I think the Jonnu Smith move is actually going to hurt more than losing Jalen Ramsey, who I heard really didn't really want to play much man defense the last 2 years, just wanted to sit on the flat routes and curls and didn't really want to play too much man-to-man. So I don't think losing him is going to be too big of a deal. You know, that said, I think after 3 years, I would really question how much control Mike McDaniel has over that locker room and whether his kind of message is falling flat now. Who was it? Bradley Chubb talking about how the players were just lying last year when they talked about how committed they were and how they had both feet in. And I mean, that's not a great sign when the players are admitting that they're just giving lip service to what the coach is saying. And, you know, that's a locker room that led by Tyreek Hill has been a little dysfunctional the last few years. So it does kind of feel like everything's ready to fall apart here. I think Stephen Ross should have looked harder at replacing the head coach and the GM and just starting over fresh. This feels a lot like the 2011 season when he flirted with Jim Harbaugh but ultimately kept Sperano, and then they started 0-7 and the thing was just a disaster. So, you know, Mike McDaniel, I don't think the same, you know, fate will befall him, but I do wonder after last year if his tenure had kind of run its course and if the Dolphins are going to regret trying to run it back one more time.
Yeah. Boy, that was a crazy time. Boy, you just had me thinking about that. We had to wait on that meeting that was supposed to come out and it was all done and took a while for Coach Sperano to come back out. And that was crazy. What a crazy day. Hey, Ben, great stuff, man. Can't wait to get this started. We'll see you week two down here at Hard Rock Stadium against the Miami Dolphins. Should be a lot of fun. I appreciate you finding time for us, buddy.
Hey, thank you, Big Dog. Appreciate you.
All right, you got it. Ben Volen, senior NFL and Patriots writer for the Boston Globe, joining us this morning. Talk a little bit, just to get a little teaser, a little appetizer, man, here as veterans will report next week. Rookies getting their feet wet right now. And guess what, folks? It's hurricane season, and are you doing everything you can? It's always a question. Are you protecting your home the best you can? Have you thought about calling Loctite Impact Windows, Doors and roofing? They do it all for you. And by the way, if you've been holding off because of money, look, if you've got an old leaky roof, replace your old roof now, pay later. How's that sound? Loctite Impact offers The highest quality roofing materials with lifetime warranty plus thousands of five-star reviews. Save big on their legendary state-of-the-art Impact windows and doors. Impact windows as low as $3 per window per month installed. Don't wait for the next storm. Why are you waiting till, well, we're going to see if we can get through this season? No, don't wait to see if you can get through. You never know where those bad storms are going to land. And we hope we get lucky another year, but there is one thing you can do, and that's protect your home right now. Visit LoctiteImpact.com. Again, that's LoctiteImpact.com or call 954-500-LOCK. Let their professional staff get started with you today, covering all of South Florida.
And now, it's time for Hollywood's Headlines. Without further ado, here's Hollywood.
All right, Woody, what do you have for us today?
All right, Joe, this was pretty interesting yesterday. Fox is trying to add a little something here to their big noon kickoff show, their yes. pregame show that they have over there. And ESPN dominates that thing, right, with College Game Day. We know
and
that
it
that's...
It got just better. They had Saban and McAfee. It got better, yes.
Yeah. So Fox is trying to counter here by adding Barstool Sports and Dave Portnoy to the mix here. This was all a bunch of rumors yesterday, but it looks like this is probably going to end up happening, I would think. But... yeah, it looks like Big Noon Kickoff might add Portnoy to their coverage. And here's the thing, Joe, that's kind of funny about this. Every place that has added him has eventually had to move on, including ESPN. They had them for like a minute over there. And
yes.
Then, you and I were talking yesterday, the whole thing with the Penn National Gaming went sideways, and now they're with DraftKings. But, you know, they will be on regular network TV there. And he's been known to say what he wants to say.
Yeah, he's got all the money in the world, so he doesn't really care.
No, no.
They got a long way to go to catch the other show. They just do. The other show's just...
I don't want this to be like one of those situations. This reminds me of the Shane Gillis thing. It's like you add one of these people to your show. You have a stand-up comedian like Shane Gillis do your monologue. It's probably not going to be for everyone.
But they had to know that.
Yeah.
They had to know, considering who was going to be at that event, number one. And I'm guessing there were some people offended.
You could tell nice there were people offended.
Combination of black athletes, white athletes, different sports, different parties, and this guy is just letting it rip. So they knew that. By the way, the promos that they've been running for the last week of all Shane Gillis going, you know, they can't control me. They think they can control me? Really?
Yeah.
I mean, he's been teasing it like, I'm going to let it rip. I'm going to offend some people.
So it's the same thing with a guy like Portnoy. Like, you add him to your show, like, you should expect him to be him.
Yes.
Which I think it'll, by the way, I think it's a great addition to that show. I think he does a good job, but. You know, last night that monologue that Shane Gillis did was, I told you my ribs were hurting from laughing, man. That thing was like.
It's a little easier to laugh at home, though, than if you're in the audience and you want to laugh and you can't.
Oh, the video of McAfee is hilarious.
He'll make fun of it today, though. I give him credit. He will. Here we go. They put me on camera. I had to stop laughing because I didn't want anybody upset. Yeah.
Yeah, because they showed McAfee a couple of times. It was like, all right, it's okay to laugh at some of the stuff. And then they did the Juan Soto thing with the, you know, whatever. And if you saw it, you know. And then he was laughing. They cut to him on camera, and he went straight face real quick.
Yeah.
It's tough, man. I mean, these guys are comedians. That's what they do. They tell jokes.
Well, they didn't exactly get ambushed.
We're a little bit of a sensitive
society.
Shane
Gillis is not going to change his act just because you put him on a sports show for ESPN.
They got exactly what they signed up for, man.
ESPYs. Yeah.
Exactly what they signed up for. He was hilarious. I don't know. I enjoyed it. I also don't get offended that easily, Joe, by jokes.
Okay.
But nevertheless, we move forward here. And Wimbledon had their best audience, Joe, since 2019, led by you, apparently. They averaged 721,000 viewers across ESPN, ESPN2, and ABC throughout their coverage. The final, though, Joe, the men's singles final
Yeah.
between Sinner and Alcaraz. Listen to this number.
All right.
Averaged 3.2 million viewers. That is up over 26%. You look at last year's final between Alcaraz and Djokovic and drew a larger audience than the five-set thriller between Sinner and Alcaraz in the French Open last month. That only had 1.8 million viewers.
Wow.
Your sport is starting to catch on, bro. I think people are going,
hey, this tennis thing, I got to be part of it. Look what they did to Jeff Darlington. He's in now. I hear Jeff's going to stop playing golf and just wants to play tennis at the club.
Did you see Jeff's thing that he did where he was like running all over the grounds there and sitting in the what's that lawn thing they have there? You know, where all the people sit and watch the TV outside the stadium?
Yeah.
He was sitting out there and he was like walking all over talking to fans and stuff. He was awesome, man.
Yeah, I don't know if people are going to have to let me know, give me a spy report, but the word is that he is quitting the private club for golf. I don't want to put his business out there, but he's only going to be playing tennis now. He just
really?
I got the bug. I'm expecting he's going to call me and say, hey, can I get in the rotation with you and your buddies? So, hey, Jeff, nice to have you as part of the tennis family now. Congratulations. Great to have you. There's plenty of room. We just don't like pickleballers, but we
I don't
love
know, man. They keep
players.
Bulldozing your tennis courts, turning them into pickleball courts. So who knows? You know, you might be all out of courts by the time this is all said and done.
Yeah, putting those stinking little hard courts, those little squares everywhere for that pickleball.
Yeah. Well, hey Joe, if you need a little watching tonight, we don't have much in the way of sports, but we do have another documentary. That will premiere tonight.
What do we have? What am I watching in the documentary family tonight? What do you have, buddy?
We have the MLB Network documentary, Driven, the Freddie Freeman story. 8 o'clock tonight.
Freddie's one of the nicest human beings in the history of baseball. And he's been through hell, I know, with his son.
Yes, he has,
medical stuff with his son. He had to leave baseball. He comes back and he was hurt his ankle. And the next thing you know, he's... like the MVP, played unbelievable in a World Series,
Well, his Grand Slam, and I mean, that one in Game 1 is like one of the most iconic, I mean, that what a moment that was.
Yeah.
That damn near turned the series, and that won the series for him.
He's the only guy that leaves a team to go to another team, and he got a standing ovation in Atlanta. They were cheering for him before the All-Star game. Crazy.
So, again, if you are interested in this one, it does premiere tonight, Driven, the Freddie Freeman story, 8 o'clock.
Are we getting a little overdosed on all these sports documentaries, though?
Yes, we are. But, you know, there's not a lot going on right now, man, so it's okay.
I know, but we have a new sports documentary coming out, like, every week, right?
It does seem that way, yes.
Ton of them. Hey, I got to give ESPN credit. You've been watching these what are they, My Wish?
Yes, I have seen those. Yes, those are
tearjerkers.
I
cry every time.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
Every friggin' time. My wife goes, you're tearing up over there. I go, a little bit. This is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because they start with the parents telling the story about their son or daughter, and they lose it, you know, and you're going, oh, my God. I know. I still, every time I tell the story, it affects me. And then they go through this wish, and these athletes are unbelievable with them, you know. Mm-hmm. They're so good, and I've been touched by this, and all the guys come out in the day, and you see the kids are having fun. Oh, my God, so good. Who's that guy that does that? That guy's – he's the only guy that can do it. That what's that guy's name at ESPN that does these things?
Jeremy Schapp?
No, maybe? Not Jeremy Schapp.
I don't know. Is that wrong? I don't know.
No. Not Jeremy Schapp.
I don't know. Somebody else. I just took a guess. I just threw a name out at you. I don't know.
That was funny.
All right. Anyway, Joe, our last one here today. We have the Holy Grail of Star Wars memorabilia coming up to auction here. This is Darth Vader's game-used lightsaber used in The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
This is the real deal here, man. This is like the holy grail of Star Wars memorabilia.
I know. I see people go to cities and they have those shows. I know.
People love Star Wars, man. It is very, very popular.
Get to dress up like one of the characters and hang out with all your other friends dressed up as characters.
Oh, yeah. Well, now it's a Disney thing.
At a convention center all day.
So they have a huge Disney World area dedicated to Star Wars at the Hollywood Studios Park. and people are really, really into Star Wars.
Oh, I'll bet.
But this piece here, Joe, any thoughts on what Darth Vader's game-used lightsaber could go for?
100,000?
No. They're expecting anywhere from 1 million to 3 million.
Oh, gosh. Wow. Okay. Everybody's different.
Any idea if you – I know this is probably a tough question for you, but any idea what the most expensive movie prop in history would be that actually sold at auction? It's a movie from when you were a kid, I would guess.
Batman or Superman or
– No. It's from The Wizard of Oz. Oh, were you a kid when that came out?
Yeah, I love that show.
It's a movie.
No, I mean, a movie. I used to get all choked up.
Why?
That one, it had some parts to it.
Really?
Courage and heart and all that stuff. That's
anyway.
You don't have a heart for anything. Do you get emotional about anything?
No,
Dorothy?
I'm like, who is it that needs the? Is it the Tin Man, right?
Dorothy, man, I love.
No, that. The Tin Man. He's the one that needs the heart, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the Tin Man. Anyway, the Ruby
make you feel better. Were you gonna ask me? Was in black and white? Go ahead.
I don't think it was in black and white.
Can't remember. I didn't catch black and white TV.
You know, it's at the Sphere in Vegas right now. They're doing like a showing of it there. You can watch it in the Sphere.
Did not know that.
Yeah, not that you'd be interested in that, but it's awesome. It's very cool.
See a concert there.
Yeah, you really should try to get there. It's very cool. But anyway, Joe, is the ruby red slippers worn by Judy Garland. They sold for $32.5 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ah, people got stupid money. Holy smokes, man. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. All right.
We'll keep an eye on this one, though, man. The Vader lightsaber, pretty cool.
Woody, you and your collectibles, bro. No, nobody's better.
How about this, by the way? It says Disney made more than $1 billion in 2024 alone on Star Wars merchandise.
Really?
And it said they made over $12 billion last year on the franchise as a whole. Now, they have those shows that come out. There's like spin-off shows of Star Wars that are on Disney Plus. It's apparently very lucrative for them.
So I got Seth Levitt ripping me that about the documentaries. He couldn't help himself, so he's
what did he say?
I said, I'm getting tired of all the new sports documentaries, like when a new one comes out all the time.
Yeah. There are a lot of them. We touch on them here in this segment. I like to bring them up to you.
What would be your favorite?
My favorite?
Oh, yeah, there's one that you've watched more than once. Or you're sitting there on a week, and well, you don't have this because you got little kids, but I'll sit there and go, I'm going to watch this. I've seen it 14 times. Michael Jordan, man, Last Dance. Oh, so
that cool. One was, I was watching clips from that one the other day. The Formula One show I think is awesome.
Okay.
I've enjoyed that one. I like that Sprinter one. You put me on a Sprinter.
That was good. That was good.
I thought that was good. Some of those untold stories are pretty good. Like, I like the Johnny Manziel one very much. But you know that he's a hero of mine, so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. You are.
Do the OJ ones count?
Yeah.
By the way, fantastic OJ joke by Shane Gillis last night, too.
How'd that go over?
I mean, not well, but he did it in honor of Norm MacDonald. And it was just, man, it was awesome. That whole thing last night was awesome. It was, I mean, again, I didn't watch any of the show because it's unwatchable, but the monologue was tremendous.
I will tell you that he, when all those people left, men and women, no matter what age, they all got, and the first comments they were making were not about any awards or who got them or who didn't. It was all about what Shane Gillis had to say.
Yeah.
And which one stuck with them, right? You know how that works.
By the way,
you can say all the stuff you want about, oh, congratulations, you're team of the year. Oh, you're the athlete of the year. You're this of the year, the female athlete. And nobody's even talking about that. No, I felt like I got screwed. It's all about what Shane Gillis had to say.
I get frustrated with the fake outrage of comedians, though. Like, you don't like it, turn it off, man. This is what people do. They tell jokes, try to make people laugh. Anyway, this guy said, by the way, the Wizard of Oz does start out. He's right. It starts out in black and white, and then it switches to color when they fall into Oz.
I thought so.
Yeah.
I thought so.
So it's part, I guess, a little
bit. I think I did catch the.
You were a young boy when that came out?
I believe, I feel like It was close, Woody.
Was that like mind-blowing to see something in color?
Hey, Woody, it was close. I don't want to say it was for sure.
Yeah.
But I did catch black and white shows in the old days. Yeah.
Really? Right,
Yeah. No, no question about that. All right, Wood. We got to go to break here. That's okay, man. I can't hide it, Woody. My age.
Wait a
Joe. I caught some black and white jerky.
The movie came out in 1939.
Oh, it did? Oh, I didn't catch that.
Were you born in 1930?
My dad might have caught that. All right, we got to go to break. We've got a lot more stuff to get to here. Matter of fact, we're going to be checking in with the NFL Network here and get some national news and talk about. So how did my list of the Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo, Philly, Washington, Green Bay, Detroit, and L.A., except for Seth Levin, I don't care what he has to say, but for everybody else,
wow.
I believe those are the teams that have
Seth's
Super
catching
Bowl
strays this morning, man.
Yeah.
Jeez. Did he upset you really with the text?
No, I don't care. Right. He knows I'm messing with him. I love Seth Levin.
I know.
I do. I'm a big Seth Levin fan. Love Seth. That man is up and working right now somewhere. Somewhere he's out there working as we speak. We got to go to break. 8 o'clock hours coming up next.
The Joe Rose Show is presented by Loctite Windows, Doors, and Roofing. Loctite Impact, South Florida's